For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
From Black Powder Headquarters and the Bojangles Studio at Three Falls Cabin in the North Georgia Mountains, it's time for O'Neill Outside. For anything in the outdoors, this is your source. Listen in and call the show with your comments or questions. And now, here's O'Neill.
We've got Max and Pillion for O'Neill and Woman Williams this week. They are off gallivanting across the universe and checking out Johnny Mathis in parts unknown. More power to him. Hope you all have a great time and hope you all have a safe trip back.
There we go. I'm sorry. We had a little bit of a technical difficulty there. Welcome back to O'Neill Outside. Scott Maxim here, covering for O'Neill and Gale as they gallivant across the universe. And I just want to get you back into the program here. You can check us out on the Fox Networks. If you're into the video thing, visit O'Neill Outside as well for all the video on demand. What is that? Old shows archived for your convenience. Get on there, check them out. Now, as we speak, we are live in the South on 95.5 FM WSB, Atlanta's News and Talk, and coast to coast on SB Nation with 155 affiliate stations all over this fine country. From WEEI in Boston up north to out west, the big ticket in Big D, Dallas, Texas. Glad to have you aboard this morning. And if you'd like to contribute to the program, the number is 404-872-0750, 800-972-8255 outside the Atlanta calling area. Want to remind you also that if you're looking for a good read to kind of keep your time busy as we're in the winter months, a little cold out, check out O'Neill's book, People and Places Along the Way. You can find a copy of that on the O'Neill Outside website, or you can find it at Amazon.com. O'Neill Outside, People and Places Along the Way, chock full of great stories about O'Neill's adventures in hunting across the United States, the people he met, and also some great recipes for you in that book as well. This hour, we're going to continue our talk on venison, or what I like to call the miracle meat. I have a checklist for your turkey season coming up. And at the end of the program, the Medal of Honor recipient. These always put life in perspective for me. I hope they do the same for you. Stick around. You're going to want to check that out. And more of your calls, 404-872-0750, 800-972-8255. That's the toll-free number. And it spells out WSB Talk. Scott Maxim here for O'Neill. We'll be back.
Kept the bars to fill the hole. Love the lies, stole the show.
Welcome back to O'Neill Outside. Scott Maxim filling in for O'Neill and Woman Williams this week. Want to remind you the program is brought to you by Works Tools, Stripling's General Store, Tough Shed, Snellville Heating and Air, Rocco's Pub, the Georgia Department of Natural Resources and State Parks and Historical Sites, the Big Green Egg Smokers and Grills, and True Turn Hooks and Roadrunner Lures. And as long as we're talking about hooks and lures, we got a guy on the line who knows more about them than anybody I know off the top of my head. We got Captain Mac here. How are you doing today, Mac?
Good morning, Scott. I'm doing great. How about you?
I am doing exceptionally well, and I have actually been waiting all day to hear from you because, once again, we've got weird, weird weather patterns setting up this weekend. It's got to be driving the little tiny ichthyan brains in those fish crazy.
Yeah, it's probably me more than them, if you want to know. I'm not sure who's suffering the most. This has been crazy. Of course, you know, the lake, most all of our lakes are high. Lanier was just shy of its all-time high last week.
Outstanding.
Yeah, by half a foot. It has. It's caused a lot of changing water conditions. And what's really interesting, what we're seeing on Lanier, and I've heard the same from other lakes, the stripers stayed super deep. They won't come shallow. And I think it's because that water's so stable down there. There's plenty of bait. Oxygen's good. and we're not getting all this new water coming in, so they won't come out of the deep water. It's made patterns somewhat unusual for this time of year. But the good news is fishing stayed pretty good through all of this. It was just different than what we're used to in years past, and to some degree the same with the bass. It's been interesting, and it's been an inconvenience, I guess, to a lot of fishermen because some of our ramps were closed, so you couldn't put in where you wanted to. Like most all lakes in the southeast, for that matter, have really good access. You could put in where you want to go fishing. You don't have to drive around a lot. Of our ramps closed, so yeah, you had to move around a little bit.
Why did the ramps close? By the way, that's kind of curious.
It's just the water was so high in places were submerged. The courtesy docks were submerged. It becomes a safety issue because you can't see the ramp or you can't see the curbs on the ramp. So you're not paying attention. You back off the side of a little ledge something, and it's not very good.
Yeah, you don't want to start off a fishing trip with the boat going sideways in the water. That just doesn't make any sense to anybody.
No, that's not how you want to start your day at pre-dawn or something like that. So
no, negative. So what's the game plan this weekend? If you're going to be hitting the lake, what do we need to be looking for?
Well, I would encourage people to go. Just be careful. You might want to check before you go and make sure the ramp you're planning on using is open. You can go to the Corps of Engineers Facebook page and check on all their ramps. And some of the ramps are public. Some of the marinas are counties. Just check with them. And then watch for floating debris when you're on the lake, particularly on the upper end of the lake. But that's even getting better. That's starting to subside. If you're going fishing, I think the deeper patterns, whether you're bass fishing or striper fishing, the deeper patterns seem to be more consistent. A lot of bass in 25 to 40 feet. There are some shallow fish, too. They're scattered out, and it's hard to get the numbers because, you know, when the water comes up like this, the bass will go get in shallow stuff. They're going to get in a park bench, whatever they can find.
Right on.
Yeah, literally, sometimes you catch one off the barbecue grill now. But a lot of times there'll be a fish here, and then you got to go a long ways, there'll be another fish, and that's kind of the case. So the deeper patterns, again, where the water's more stable. So, Doc, if I was bass fishing, I'd concentrate on a lot of the docks. That's been a really good pattern. Creek channels and drains, 25 to 40 feet. If you're striper fishing, just find the deep bait. If you can find bait where it's layered up on the bottom, and that might be anywhere from 40 all the way down to 80 or 90 feet, fish around those bait concentrations. Down rods, live bait, that's been a good pattern. You should be able to catch some.
Outstanding.
So all in all,
all right.
It's good. Certainly worth doing.
Oh, and that's the thing we wanted to hear, you know? I mean, if you're going to be getting out in the cold today, I hate to say it, it's got to be worth it, brother.
It's got to be worth it. You can start late. You don't have to go this morning. Let it warm up a few degrees. But don't be discouraged because we have had crazy weather. We've had all this influx of new water. The fishing part of it's weathered the storm pretty well. You just might not fish in places or how you fished in the past, but overall it's fishing's good. And, man, we're right around the corner from spring, so good things coming. We're close.
Oh, yeah. Really, really looking forward to a little bit of the warmer weather. And for me personally, man, just to be able to get out more. I'm tired of being sequestered in my house, just freezing my keister off.
All that rain, all that cloud cover, I think it takes a toll. It's gloomy. So, yeah, we're ready for we've had winter. I'm ready to move on. I think most people are.
Right on. Well, Mac, let's get you some information out there about how to get in touch with you for a Lanier guide or whatever information you can provide as far as people getting in contact with you, sir. What do we got?
Sure. You can check us out online. You can contact us through Facebook or messages. We're on captainmax.com. You can see an expanded version of this fishing report on the Facebook page every week. Or you can always call us at 770-271-0851.
Outstanding. Well, have yourself a great day, sir. And if you're going to be going out at all, I hope you whack a ton of them.
Well, actually, I won't be on the lake today. I was going to let everybody know if you're out in the Gainesville area, we'll be at the grand opening of the Beverly Ace Hardware. Talking fishing. Yeah, so come on by, visit with us, and one of my colleagues, Captain Ron Mullins, will be there as well. So actually, we're going to go up there and tell people where to fish. We're going to tell them to go to all Henry's places, probably.
There you go. That sounds like a game plan.
Yeah.
All right, buddy. Thanks for checking in, Mac. Look forward to talking to you again next time.
Likewise. Thanks. Good catching up with you. Have a great weekend.
You too. Bye-bye now. All right, y'all. Captain Matt checking in with us with the Lake Lanier Report. And life is good on Lanier. Glad to hear. All right. So let's get back to this conversation about the miracle meat I call venison. It's a wonderful meat, and there's numerous reasons why it's a very, very good and should be a part of your diet, okay? First and foremost, when you take a look at it, comparatively speaking, to beef, pork, or lamb, it's the highest in protein. That's right. In a half-pound ground patty, you're going to get about 60.2 grams of protein in this meat. Very, very well packed in there. Conversely, beef and pork, 58.3, not bad. Lamb, about the same. Now, it's also, as we said before, a leaner meat. You're not going to find the marbling in there. You're not going to find the fatty tissues in these cuts of meat. So it's a healthier option for those who are conscious of fat in their diet. And also, here's another thing about it too. Because it's so densely packed with protein, when you eat it, you actually feel full for a longer amount of time. That's right. You could eat a little less deer meat, for example, than beef or pork or chicken, and you get just as much, if not more, protein, and you feel fuller. Less calories, more filling. What's not to like about that? Secondly, it's a grass-fed meat. All natural. Does it get better than that? I don't think so, okay? It is an animal with a completely natural diet. It's compared to farm-raised or even organic. There's minimum amount of human influence on this animal's meat, okay? What could that mean? Diet, for example. It's going to eat what it eats, grass primarily, nuts and whatever it can find, versus what we feed the animals in order to achieve an effect that we're looking for, whether it be larger bulk, more meat yield, a fattier cut for better taste, whatever. Nature dictates the meat, not mankind. Another one, stress. The animal is living a less stressful life than perhaps farm animals or large-scale farming operations with animals on them. Not to mention the fact that the whole slaughterhouse thing doesn't come into play either. The stress on the animal, as we discussed earlier, will affect the ultimate flavor of the meat. Less stress on the animal, less wear and tear on the animal as far as its fight or flight responses, the better the meat will be in the long run. We're going to get back to that here in a little bit. Just want to let you know, if you'd like to call, 404-872-0750 is the number, 800-972-8255. That's outside the Metro Atlanta calling area. Give us a call. Let us know how your deer hunt went this year, what you bagged, what you plan on doing it. Heck, call me with a recipe. Get my mouth watering, okay? Because all that's going to do is just make me want to, well, I might show up at your place looking for a handout, okay? Scott Maxim filling in for O'Neill and Woman Williams here today on O'Neill Outside, 95.5 WSB, Atlanta's News and Talk.
I can't say where the next bend might be. That is the beauty in life's mystery. That is the beauty in life's mystery.
Welcome back to O'Neill Outside. Scott Maxim filling in for O'Neill this week. Coming at you live on 95.5 FM WSB, Atlanta's News and Talk, and coast to coast on SB Nation Radio with 155 stations across this country, bringing this to you. If you'd like to join in on the program, 404-872-0750, 800-972-8255. I'm going to finish up real quickly here with the health benefits of venison meat. And then we'll jump back on the phones here in a second. John, stand by. I'll get to you as quick as I can. So, as we said earlier in the last segment, it's high in protein. It's a grass-fed natural meat. But it has specific benefits for human beings. Well, like what, for example? Well, how about this? It's 5 times higher on average in omega-3 fatty acids than beef. Why do you care? Here's the reason. Benefits for humans include fighting anxiety, depression, it improves eye health, it can promote brain health during pregnancy and early life, what? Improves risk factors against heart disease, has been found to benefit kids with ADHD, really, and can help reduce obesity, fight inflammation, and others. In other words, there is a direct link to eating this meat that will benefit human beings. Very good for you, y'all. Also, low in calories and fat. Again, 3 ounces of lean beef contain 247 calories and 15 grams of fat. Conversely, 3 ounces of venison contains 134 calories and only 3 grams of total fat. Plus, with the lesser fat, less chance for heart disease and problems associated with that. It's very nutrient dense versus other meats out there. Has a host of B-complex vitamins, zinc, which is great for warding off a cold this time of year, iron, this is a tough one for me, DHA, otherwise docohexaenoic acid. And the big word means that it helps reduce triglyceride fats that lead to high blood pressure and cholesterol, okay? Another benefit. I never knew this. And the funny thing is, I wouldn't have known this had I not fallen down a rabbit hole doing some research on this week. I had no clue. I'll be honest with you. No clue how good it was for me. Okay? If you're looking to lose weight, again, a great meat. If you're on a high-protein diet, like, for example, I've been on South Beach for years. I'm always looking for a high-protein source to help ward off hunger and keep me lean. You know, I do the low-carb thing. This is awesome. It's a meat that is great for those not only looking to lose weight, but to build mass. If you're a bodybuilder, athlete, it's great stuff for part of your diet. Make it a part of your diet, okay? Here's some other stuff that's not so much from the healthy side of venison, but benefits it well as well. It tastes really good. Now, conversely, we had a letter from a guy who said he had an awful meal. Well, I'm sorry to hear that. And we talked about why it may be that you had the awful meal of venison. Normally, not the case. It is really, really good and really versatile. I've used it in chili. I've had steaks. Just throw them on the grill and cook them up. I've had sausages. And let me tell you something, man. A venison sausage, when you kick it next to some eggs and bacon in the morning, is amazing. It is a great way to start your day and a great source of protein, okay? Secondly, it will save you money. What? Absolutely. Now, keep in mind, there is an initial investment involved in hunting. Granted, guns, gear, that sort of thing. But when we add all that up, you know, just kind of kick it to the curb, cost of doing business, if you will, when you take a look at what you yield from the typical deer versus what it costs to buy beef, okay? Average cost in the United States, about $4.25 for a pound of beef. Venison, 95 cents per pound. How can that be? Because when you take an animal, you're looking at between 70 and 80 pounds of edible meat. And when you factor in the costs and everything like that, after the initial cost of the equipment, it comes out to about 95 cents per pound. Save money, folks. That's another great reason to go out and get into some deer hunting. Okay? Here's another thing that people don't take into account enough. Satisfaction of doing something yourself. You hunted for the animal, you took the animal, you cleaned the animal, you prepped the animal, and now you're serving it. You can do it with pride, whether you're serving your family or friends or just even yourself. Knowing that you put this on the table is just such a boost for one's own self-esteem, and it goes a long way just to having a healthier outlook on yourself, okay? Here's another reason that it's good to, you know, good meat. In order to get it, you got to be outdoors. You got to be getting some exercise. So while you're walking around, you know, prepping up your tree stand or out in the woods, going to your spot, you're going to be crossing some territory. You're going to be working your legs, your arms, cardio, everything. It's fantastic, and it's a great way to stay in shape, getting that deer meat, okay? It also helps control the deer population. Now, people say, oh, you know, killing deer, oh, it's wrong or whatever, let them do their thing. Well, if you don't manage the herd, if you don't manage the population, they're going to starve or they're going to be covered, you know, the disease could set in something. In any case, when they're unchecked, it just allows for a lot more problems with the herd and overall is not good as far as keeping a healthy population in the state, okay? And finally, here's one other thing too. You can actually help feed people. A lot of food banks will take donations of venison from hunters if they want to. You know, hunters want to do something charitable with their hunt every year. A great way to do it is to help feed people through food banks or charitable organizations or whatever. But it's another reason why venison is quite possibly the best thing out there for you as far as meat. I love it. I'm not going to lie. I highly endorse it. And would love to hear what you guys do with it, as a matter of fact. Give us a call, 404-872-0750, 800-972-8255. Tell us how your hunt went this year. Tell us if you've got a freezer full of meat, what you plan on doing it. Right now, I'm going to go back to the phones here. I have a very patient gentleman here named John calling from New York. John, let's see if we can get you here. And you are on O'Neill Outside on 95.5 WSB. Good morning.
Yes, greetings from the Catskill Mountains. We're still thankful we could pick you up on the radio up here. I can't believe it.
And, outstanding.
I had company the past few weeks, different times. My brothers, one from Florida and one from Long Island, and both of those guys really enjoyed your show. They were here drinking coffee with me in the morning and listening to everybody's stories, and they had a really good time listening to it just as I do.
Oh, well, thank you very much. We really appreciate it. I know O'Neill loves hearing when people are listening to the show.
Yes, yes. Now, the Catskill Mountains, just the
Late
name Catskill, yep, just the name Catskill has the word kill in it. That derives from the Dutch word kill, which means creek or stream, okay?
Ah.
Now, we have a lot of the streams and creeks named Beaver Kill, Batavia Kill, the Red Kill, and so forth. And there's a, down along the Hudson River, there's even a village of Fishkill.
Huh.
And, yeah, in 1996, the PETA organization, the animal rights group, they wanted the village of Fishkill to change their name because it sounded like it incited violence against fish.
Oh, no. And you know what? It is such a problem in America today with just random gangs just attacking fish in the streets. I mean, unprovoked, you know, it's just really what it is. And I'll be honest with you. It is actually discrimination against the scaled. OK, that's what that's all about. I have no patience for it. I do not endorse it.
Well, it just shows you the ignorance of some people without knowing their history and such, you know. And,
well,
of course, they were told to take a walk, of course, you know.
Oh, look, and let me tell you something, too. Along those lines, and this isn't necessarily related to the outdoors, but PETA, in its infinite wisdom, tried the same thing up in Green Bay. They were actually serious when they said the Green Bay Packers, which is a reference to the meatpacking industry of the area, should change their name to the Green Bay Pickers to reflect a more agrarian and less harmful team mascot.
Wow.
You
That's
know,
incredible.
You know, at some point, and I'm typically not this uptight when people express an opinion, but when it's just so blatantly dumb, it needs to be called out for being blatantly dumb.
Right. Now, you know, I understand you guys are getting some rains down there. Mississippi, I guess, got really hit bad with the flooding.
Yeah, and, we've had some weather moving through the south, yeah.
Yeah, we've had our share of flash floods up here, because it's flash floods, because the mountains, it comes right down, and then it's gone just as quick as it came. We've had floods in 1996, 2006, 2011. But this one flood, I got to let you know about this, in the newspaper, the guy, they quoted the guy as saying he started seeing, this is down the villages, he started seeing the water rising up, so he figured he better get out while the getting's good. So he grabbed his three most prized possessions, his Bible, his shotgun, and his bottle of scotch.
Not necessarily in that order, maybe.
Everybody's priorities are different, I guess.
Well, I mean, let's think about it. I guess a bottle of scotch and a Bible and a shotgun's got you pretty much covered for about 90% of whatever's coming your way, sir.
Yes, yes. I'm appreciating all your talk about venison, and that's what I feast on up here, too. And next week I'll be making some venison chili for the church luncheon. Last time I bought wild turkey soup.
Oh, man. Can I just tell you, venison chili is one of my favorite recipes. I used to make that so much when I was in college. I love that stuff.
Yep.
Well, John, I'll tell you what. Appreciate you giving us a call here today and giving us a little history of one of the prettiest parts of America there. And hope to hear from you again sometime.
You bet. Thanks.
All
Take
right.
care.
Thank you, and have a good one. If you want to join the program, 404-872-0750, 800-972-8255. We're going to dip out here for just a little bit, but we'll be back with more Outdoor Talk on 95.5 WSB, Atlanta's News and Talk. This is O'Neill Outside.
I got my toes in the water, ass in the sand, not a worry in the world, a cold beer in my hand. Life is good today. Life is good today. Well, a plane touched down.
This morning. All right, let's go back to the phones real quick. I got a couple people here that have been patiently waiting. And let's see here. Let's go to Richard in West Virginia. Good morning, Richard, and welcome to O'Neill Outside. Glad to have you on board this morning.
Thank you so much. You know, they have one thing you were saying. You don't mind telling somebody if when they say something dumb that it is dumb.
I think sometimes you have to. I think, you know, to entertain silliness is to entertain nonsense, and I'm just not about that, my friend.
Oh, okay, that's good, because I know that I've done that and called in when I hear something dumb. I'd call into a local show and say, that was a dumb question. First thing that happens is they will come back to you and say, what makes you think that you're so smart? They're always going to hit you with something to make you belittle you and say, well, you're not exactly the Phi Beta Kappa of this radio show either.
Exactly. Hey, you know what? And I let that float. I don't even worry about that stuff. I say my piece, I move on, and carry on. So, Richard, I believe you have a question for us here this morning pertaining to the rut. Is that correct, sir?
I do. When they have that here, and this might be a dumb question.
No. Let's get back to that. There are no dumb questions, sir, just dumb people. So carry on.
Is a rut the same every place in the country every year? Just like from here, I believe it's from mid-October until mid-December. Is that usually what it is, like 2 months? That's always interesting how it is that the rut is the same time. And just like right now, if you would go out, because I hit a deer about a month ago, mm-hmm. and I'm just thinking, now is it okay to go out at night that you know you're not going to hit a deer because this is February and the rut is over?
I can tell you right now, first of all, to answer that question, no. Okay, and the reason why I say that is because as I was coming in this morning, I'm coming in down the mountain road here to the studio, and lo and behold, there's a doe and a couple fawns behind her. So they are moving. They are definitely moving. So you do have to be aware of that. Now, with reference to the rut, okay, it's an interesting question you put there. Is the rut the same nationwide? The answer is yes and no. Yes, it is the same time of year everywhere across the United States, but it's dependent on where you are in the United States. For example, here in Georgia, we have a slightly different rut season compared to Alabama next door. The reason why is because of photoperiodism. It's the amount of light that actually activates the rut. So every year around the same time, the deer are going to go into the rut, you know, and wherever you are locally, check your regulations and such. But generally speaking, it's going to occur the same time in your area because of photoperiodism, the amount of light that's out there every day.
The amount of light that's out there every day.
Yes, sir. That is actually what drives the rut. When the light starts decreasing as you're heading into the wintertime, for some reason or another, the deer get busy. And it's all based upon photoperiodism.
It's not because when the females are in heat?
Well, and that's, again, driven by the time of the year, and, again, it's driven by the light. So, yeah, that's what's happening, is it's activating that part of their cycle, if you will.
Let's just say, like, right now, if you want to go out at nighttime, the chances are, like, pretty slim that you would hit, not seeing a fawn and their mother walking around. I'm just talking about the bucks and the does, the bucks going after the does. Right now, you would say that. Would you say the rut is over? The chances of hitting a deer now are going to be slim to none.
I don't think your chances are going to be any less or any more based on that. You may get a little bit more movement than usual because of the rut, But I hesitate to say whether it will actually have an effect on, like, overall car hits and that kind of thing.
All right. I would say, I guess I thank you, but I just thought you'd tell me it was over so I could say, be free to go out and just say, well, I'm not going to hit it, because I couldn't believe when I hit it. It's like hitting a brick wall.
Oh.
I didn't even know what I hit until I went to get it fixed and at the body shop, and they saw deer hair on the car, yeah. And they said, hit a deer. I didn't even know it. I thought it hit a brick wall, it seemed like.
I'm telling you what, they are no joke. And you know, I've even seen instances reported of fatalities caused by bucks when they get hit by a car. They'll roll up over that hood, go straight through the windshield, and then the horns, you know, the antlers, end up impaling people in the car. As crazy as it sounds, it does happen. So you are correct in that you do need to really, really pay attention, you know, especially during rut season. These guys are moving all over the place. They're a little more active looking for their females. But simply because it's over doesn't necessarily mean you have less chance of hitting a deer on the road. How's that work, man?
I guess that sounds halfway decent, so I'll just accept that and just move on.
Right on. Have yourself a great one, Richard. Thanks for calling. All right, moving on. I've got a caller here. Blah, 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 boom. Hey, got a guy from Noonan named Wolf who says he's got a really great Christmas present. What was his Christmas present, Wolf?
Well, because of the way the deer season falls right there in the fall, you get your deer salt, you know, you get your deer processed, you get several sticks of deer sausage, deer salami, depending on what you call it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know anybody that doesn't love getting a stick of deer salami for Christmas.
Oh, look, let me tell you what. Again, it's just such a great food. And to be honest with you, too, it's kind of unusual to throw somebody a venison salami, isn't it?
There's only so many hunters, but everybody loves to eat the stuff.
Oh, man.
And then my favorite recipe is I make Italian beef out of the deer roast.
Oh.
And it is to die for.
Oh, that sounds so good, man. Can I tell you, I want to tell you a quick little story here, Wolf, if I may, about how I got introduced to venison, okay? And it starts with me in the late 80s, yes, I'm dating myself, at West Virginia University. I used to live with three guys, and a friend of ours, a mutual friend, was this girl named Chris. And twice a year, Chris would show up with arms of venison because her dad would go out and bag a couple deer, show up at her place with 80 to 100 pounds of venison, and she had no room for it. So she would show up at our place with tons of food. And for about the next 3 to 4 weeks, we had every meal. We had burgers, and we had steaks, and we had sausages. I mean, and it was just fantastic. And we just had the greatest time. To this day, I wish I'd met her dad to thank him for feeding me, because I surely would have starved.
Yeah. I don't know any too many hungry hunters or fishermen.
No, sir. No, sir. If you can catch it, you can, you know, you can grill it up. And, you know, plenty of good recipes out there for that stuff.
Yep.
Right.
Well, you have a good morning, sir.
I will do that thing, but only if you promise to do the same, sir.
Well, I'm about 2 minutes away from work, and this is the first Saturday we've had to work in over a year.
Well, you know
so,
what,
I mean,
my friend?
I guess business is good.
I would say this. You know, if business is good, that's a good thing. And if you got to do a little bit of what you have to do to later on do what you want to do, that's just fine, too.
That's right. Be safe,
right,
man.
Have yourself a great one. Thanks for the call. All right, back to the phones here. Back to the phones. Let's go to John in Lilburn. Hold on, wrong button there. Let me get that thing shut up. John in Lilburn.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Glad to hear from you.
Yeah, I had talked to O'Neill a couple of weeks ago about the ruts, and mm-hmm. we can't give this thing up. It concerns apparently the male deer. He said mm-hmm. that ends in Thanksgiving. But if they are less active sexually, if you will, how come I killed deer in January who does? I've never seen a growth of, you know, of fetus, if you will, in a doe. If they're having if the bucks stop showing a great deal of interest in the females by Thanksgiving, how come they're I've never killed a pregnant doe? I don't. You see what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
I'm having a little difficulty. So essentially, what is it you're looking for here, John?
Well, we were talking about the rut, and I said that it started when the weather got cold. And he said, well, you just said that it's a photogenesis. Well, if the bucks aren't that interested after, say, Thanksgiving, they're still sexually active. But if the rut ends when they're really active in Thanksgiving, how come there aren't a bunch of pregnant does running around?
Oh, in other words, how come they didn't get impregnated on that first rut?
Yeah.
Could be a couple reasons. Could be that the female is just avoiding the males for whatever reason she chooses. They may not be in estrus at all the same time. They may be in a low-pressure area of males.
So the estrus and rut doesn't always run at the same time.
Well, you know, it's a seasonal thing. There is no question. It does happen every year. And, you know, we know this, of course. But the animal itself, it may be more, you know, that particular animal may not be in the same stage that other animals are.
So the second
rut kind of kicks in and those animals are taken care of.
So sometimes you agree there is a second rut.
There's no question about it.
Yeah, okay. That was my question. There was a second one. Okay, that makes all good sense. Thank you so much. You cleared that up.
Hey, no problem. Happy to do so.
Hey, thanks, buddy. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. All right, and to the phones we continue. Ricky in Athens, what you got for us here today, sir?
Good morning, Scott. I'm hungry. All this talk about this delicious venison, so I wish I could get me a venison biscuit this morning, but... I have to say I got skunked this last season. You said to report your harvest, but all this talk about delicious venison has got me pumped up for the upcoming season, and I'm looking forward to looking to bow hunt so I can get an early start. I wanted to ask you some questions about turkey hunting, if that's all right.
Lay it on me. Maybe I can help you out, sir.
Okay, so I'm a new turkey hunter. I've been able to go off and on for the last few years, but I have had the experience of seeing turkeys. Usually the ones I saw were hens, so no kill on those. But I've won a quota hunt, and I'm really excited about it because it's in Newton County. It's on one of the new WMAs. It's on the Gaither WMA. Mm-hmm. And they're only going to allow 10 people. I thought, wow, yeah, I feel kind of special. I usually never win anything, but I guess the stars lined up.
No, that's beautiful.
So I heard you talk earlier on the show, and I think Milton pumped in on it too, on the turkey hunting. I'm not going to use any of that stuff from Dude. I know he was trying to put a plug in there, but that's just not going to work for me. But the thing that I am interested in is the patience part and what you would recommend I do prior to going on the hunt there, seeing how I have never been on that property before.
Okay, first things to keep in mind, when you're working the WMA, the reason why they keep that number low is because they don't want hunters working birds on top of each other, okay? Secondly, when you get out to the WMA, try to get out to a little bit more remote areas. Have a topography map handy. Look for areas that have creek beds that they work for water sources, or up against a little tree line or a log road. They like to work those areas. And I wish I had a little more time here. I got to bail out of here in about 15 seconds. But I'll see what I could do about posting up some tips for turkey season this year. I didn't get a chance to get to them in the program. I'll see if I can throw them up there on Facebook so you can check them out on O'Neill's page, okay?
Awesome, and I'm a top fan, so I'll definitely do that, Scott.
All right, thanks, bud.
Appreciate your show. Appreciate the time, and say hi to O'Neill for me.
All right, appreciate you. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back for one more segment. You're listening to O'Neill Outside on 95.5 WSB.
Honor, courage, and strength of character. These qualities are embodied by the recipients of the Medal of Honor. Now let's recognize this week's Medal of Honor recipient on O'Neill Outside.
All right, finishing up the program as we do with the Medal of Honor tribute. Today, Technician Laverne Parrish, the Medal of Honor awarded February 22nd. Oh, I'm sorry, that's today's date, duh. Organization, U.S. Army, Theater, Philippine Islands, from the 18th to the 24th of January, 1945. He was medical aid man with Company C during the fighting in the Philippine Islands. On the 18th, he observed two wounded men under enemy fire and immediately went to their rescue. After moving one to cover, he crossed 25 yards of open ground to administer aid to the second. In the early hours of the 24th, his company, crossing an open field, encountered intense enemy fire and was ordered to withdraw to the cover of a ditch. While treating the casualties, Technician Parrish observed two wounded still in the field. Without hesitation, he left the ditch, crawled forward under enemy fire, and in two successive trips, brought both men to safety. He next administered aid to 12 casualties in the same field, crossing and recrossing the open area raked by hostile fire. Making successive trips, he then brought three wounded into cover. After treating nearly all of the 37 casualties suffered by his company, he was mortally wounded by mortar fire and shortly after died. The indomitable spirit, intrepidity, and gallantry of Technician Parrish saved many lives at the cost of his own. Medical Technician Laverne Parrish died in battle in January of 1945. Pretty amazing stuff. And also, as I say every week, a fine example of perspective. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that brings to the end our program. I want to thank you for joining me today as I filled in for O'Neill and Gail, and hope to hear from you again sometime soon. In the meantime, grab a kid, get outdoors, go have some fun this weekend, and if you can't do it today, do it tomorrow, but do it sometime. And remember this, O'Neill Outside, we're the place you want to go when you want to talk the outdoors. Been a pleasure hanging with you. Until next time, have a great one.
Georgia, Georgia, the whole day through,
the whole day,
just an old sweet song.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.